This morning, in looking at Psalm 121, we find the psalmist speaking about his source of help. We're at a very critical time in history. I think we all realize that. We are entering into a new decade, which is going to be the last decade of this century. The 20th century is coming quickly to a close. Not only is it the last decade of this century, it is also the last decade of this millennium. The second millennium since the year of our Lord is coming to a close. The last decade. And the future seems to be very uncertain because so many of the nations of the world today are in a state of flux. Events have transpired in the last few months that have boggled our minds. We haven't been able to fully digest yet just what is going on in Europe because we don't know. We know that there are dramatic changes that are taking place day by day. Things that once seemed to be so certain, even so permanent, have crumbled before our very eyes so quickly that we're just wondering what's going on. Will this movement towards democracy and freedom continue, or will it be stifled? How long before the troops will be ordered in, as in China, and this whole movement crushed? Or will this movement move on out? And will there really be a change, a new era, a new age for Europe? We realize that no one really knows the answers to these questions. We just have to wait day by day as the events unfold before our eyes, leaving us in total wonder and amazement. The future has many uncertainties. But the future also holds many certainties. And to know what the future holds, we can look to the past. For we realize there are certain things that just continue. And we just expect them because they have a pattern of the past, and we realize that these things are just going to continue to go on. We expect the sun to come up every morning. We expect the sun to go down every night. These are things that just from the past patterns, we learn to anticipate them, expect them. We can set our watches and we can know exactly what time the sun is going to rise tomorrow and that it'll be rising a minute earlier the next day and a minute earlier onto the summer equinox, and then the days will start to shorten. We know these things because we have a running record of the past and we have been able to observe them, and thus we can make certain predictions of the future because of things that have happened in the past. We know that we are faced here in California with some earth-shaking experiences in the future because we've had some earth-shaking experiences in the past. And we know that these subterranean plates of the earth are moving, and are crossing over. And as they cross this slow movement, every once in a while they get stuck and it takes a while, and then there's an adjustment. And with this adjustment, a quick shift, and then this shaking on the surface. And we know that this has been going on, this movement of the subterranean plates of the earth. And thus, we are able to say, yes, we are no doubt in for some earthquakes in this next decade. And it is possible that in this next decade, we're going to get the big one that they're talking about as San Andreas makes its adjustment, which it is prone to do about every 100 years or so. And the last big one in 1906, so that we should be set for another major adjustment of the San Andreas fault line. And thus, the future holds some pretty shaky events for us. We also know that there are going to be some stressful times in the future, because we know that life is stressful. We know that situations arise in which we must make decisions, critical decisions. And we don't always know which is the right turn to make. We know that we're going to be facing hardships because life is hard. We know that we're going to be facing sorrows because life is filled with sorrows. And so we know that there are going to be difficult, hard times ahead, because we've been through a lot of difficult, hard times. That's just life. You just don't get by easily. There are problems. There are circumstances that create sorrow and hurt and pain and suffering, and thus we know that we have a share of pain that we will be facing. And with the uncertainty of when the difficulty might rise, to what degree it might be, we always wonder, will I have sufficient resources to take me through the difficult, hard times that lie ahead? Will they be greater than I can handle? Will I be able to survive? Just what is in store? Will I have sufficient strength to meet the test that I will be facing? And that kind of uncertainty can cause a real dilemma within my own soul. When I am faced with those difficult circumstances, when I am faced with situations which are beyond my capacity to cope with, where will I turn for help? I know that situations will arise that I can't handle myself. I'm going to be needing help to make it through. Where do I turn for help? The psalmist said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help?" Now, don't misread the psalm. I feel that the translators have done a disservice in their punctuation. The psalmist is not at all declaring that I'm going to find help in the hills, that they are the source or the place of my help. He said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills." I believe that this next phrase, "from whence cometh my help," should have a question mark. For he answers the question in the second verse. So let's read it, I believe, as it was intended when the psalmist wrote it. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made the heaven and the earth. In other words, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills because the hills are reminders to me of God's creative power. They remind me of God. Now, in the context of the writing of the psalm, as you are making your journey towards Jerusalem and you're looking up into the hills, you know that Jerusalem lies up there in the hills. Jerusalem, the city of God, the place where I gather to meet God. And I lift up mine eyes to the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And so, looking at nature, looking at creation, I am reminded of the Creator. And being reminded of the Creator, I am made aware of my place of help, my source for help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heaven and the earth. Because I believe in creation, that the universe was created by God, that he formed the dry land from out of the water. Because I believe in creation, I see the hand of God, the Creator, in his creation. It reminds me, it speaks to me of God, of God's wisdom, of God's power, of God's glory. And thus, in being reminded of God in my observation of nature, in being reminded of the wisdom of God, I know that he is able to guide me with wisdom in the decisions that I must make. And I can trust his wisdom. Surely it is superior to mine. The Bible tells us that in wisdom, he created these things. Now, the evolutionist, in looking at the hills, thinks about a Big Bang that took place billions of years ago, in which these balls of gases were flung out into the universe. And down here in one corner of this massive ball of gas that we call the Milky Way galaxy, one of these little balls of gas began to cool. And it happened to be just the right distance from this ball of gas we call the sun. That water vapor was able to form. And that, through volcanic eruptions, through the laying down of stratas in floods, and through the upthrust from the pressures of the plates underneath, the mountains and all were formed. By glacier activity, Yosemite Valley was carved out. And he looks at these things and he tries to give a naturalistic explanation for their existence. Billions of years ago, the lightning struck the slimy ooze. And that first cell miraculously. Well, no, nothing is miraculous. We can't believe in miraculous because then you're beyond scientific explanation. Though we can't explain it yet, and we will hopefully someday be able to explain how that lightning created this first protein molecule that began over billions of years to develop in many ways, some into trees, some into plants, some into animals, and ultimately into you. And thus he gets no inspiration from the hills, from the mountains, from the skies, from plant life. Now I can go to Yosemite and I can be totally inspired. As I look at those mammoth granite cliffs, El Capitan, El Portal, Half Dome, Glacier Point. I can just stand there in awe as I think about God, His creative powers. As I look at those waterfalls, the Bridal Veil, Yosemite, Vernal, Nevada, I see the beauty, and I'm enthralled, and I'm reminded of Jesus, the water of life. I look at the trees, beautiful forests covering the hillsides, the conifers. Go up to Winona and look at those giant redwoods. Some of them almost 2,000 years old. And again, I'm reminded of the awesome creative powers of God. I see how that these trees cover the whole area. And I think of how they spread. How that those pine cones have little seeds within them. And in the fall, as the cones begin to dry, they begin to open up, and these seeds then begin to fall out of this pine cone. But if they fell straight down, they wouldn't be able to propagate themselves, because there wouldn't be sufficient sunlight for the new tree to get its growth. There wouldn't be sufficient nutrients in the soil right under the parent tree. So I think of how the seeds have these clever little fins that when the cone opens up and the seed drops, this little fin starts twirling like a propeller. And the breeze carries it out away from the parent tree, far enough that it can find a place where it can get the sunshine and the nutrients so that it can grow. And you see how the forests cover that whole area up there. I was up in Seattle this fall at a pastor's conference. It wasn't pine trees, but the similar type of a seed, a propeller seed, on a sort of a maple tree up there. And I watched it on the windy day as these seeds that had dried and actually in their original form on the tree, they're a double seed. They're formed together form a double seed, but as they dry, they break loose, and then as they just are hanging there dried and just hanging by little fibers, the wind comes along and it frees it from the tree, and the thing begins to spin on down and the breeze carries it away. And I think, my, isn't that a marvelous design. If it is designed, there must be a designer who has great wisdom. And within the seed, there is the genetic code for the creation of a new tree that is similar to the parent tree. It's all coded in there. Within this pod, there's a little seed in it, and it has genetic codes that if you plant it, you'll get a duplicate of the parent tree. And so the ability to duplicate itself and to propagate itself by putting a little fin on the seed to carry it far enough away that it can get a start in life and grow, and have a chance to grow. And I look at these tumbleweeds as their root rots in the fall, and then they wait for the Santa Ana winds to blow. And they just start tumbling along. And as they do, they start dumping their seeds all over the ground. So that next year you're going to have tumbleweeds out here where they went past and left their seeds, you know. And interesting way of propagating themselves. I look at other little seeds just hanging at the bottom of a parachute, waiting for the wind to blow to carry them aloft, so that they can propagate themselves. I look at other seeds that exude a little glue, and when you walk by, they just stick themselves on your pants. And they hitchhike until the glue dries and the seed falls off, but it propagates itself. Others put little hooks on the seed. They hook into your sock. And when you get home, you feel that irritation and you start pulling these little seeds out and you throw it down so that a foxtail will grow next to your back door next year. The little burrs. Each of them having genetic codes so that they can duplicate the parent. Now you can say this all happened by accident. This all developed from the lightning striking the slimy ooze. Or you can see within it design. And you can marvel at the Creator. At such infinite wisdom that was able to design the cell and place within it that code, that missing ingredient in the cells which evolutionists fail to recognize, the I, the information that is in the code. And that information is fantastic. The information that is bound up in the code of a single cell. There's sufficient information in one cell of your body, sufficient information bound up in one cell of your body to fill a library of 10,000 volumes. The cell is not a simple cell. It is so complex. The information that is in a single cell of your body will fill 10,000 volumes. For within each cell of your body, there is that code for the replication of your body. Eye color, skin pigment, fingers, hands, whole thing. Nervous system, the whole complex you. The information is bound up within the cell. Who put the information there? I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Maker of the heaven and the earth. You see, in believing in creation, I don't look at life as just a series of accidents waiting to happen. But I see a design. I see a purpose. I see a meaning. And life takes on meaning. It takes on purpose because there is a creator who has created all things with a purpose and for a purpose. And so there's a purpose for the design of this seed. There's a purpose for me. And he who has purposed my existence watches over me, takes care of me, helps me when I am in need. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. You see, as I'm facing this new decade, there are a lot of uncertain things ahead. There are a lot of problems ahead. There are a lot of difficulties ahead. There are a lot of sorrows ahead. There's a lot of pain ahead. And there are going to be many places where I'm going to have to reach out for help. And when I get to those places where I must reach out for help, as I look at the world around me, as I lift up my eyes to the hills, to the skies, to the trees, I realize that the God who created this universe, the God who in wisdom designed the plants, the animals, is the God who loves me and watches over me and will help me in my time of stress and trial. When the problems are greater than I can handle, the Lord will be there to help me. When the stress is greater than I can bear, the Lord will be there to help me. I don't know what's in store, but I do know that whatever is in store, the Lord will be there to see me through. And He will help me. And so the psalmist, aware that life is filled with stressful situations, expresses his place of hope and strength and of help. What about the person who doesn't believe in God? Who believes that all of these things came to pass through natural selection, through the survival of the fittest? Well, how could the pine tree have propagated itself and continued to exist before it had enough sense to put a little fin on its seed? You know, if all of these things developed over millions of years, surely the first cone didn't realize the problem of just dropping the seed straight under the tree. And so it must have taken millions of years to design that little fin in such a way as it would spin and carry it away from the base of the tree. How did it survive those millions of years? Were all the trees in just one spot? Easier to believe, looking at that beautifully designed fin, to believe that it was designed rather than just came about as the marvelous fortuitous concurrence of accidental circumstances. But you see, if you don't believe in God, you still are going to be faced with stressful situations. You're going to still have problems that you're not going to be able to handle. You're going to face situations that you're not going to know the answer. Maybe you should write a psalm to sustain you in that time. I will lift up mine eyes unto the bottle. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from John Walker. He helps me to forget, to fuzz out reality so that I can cope with the stress of life. I will lift up mine eyes to the medicine chest. From whence cometh my help? The little yellow pill that gives me the ability to cope with those stresses and those problems. You see, everybody has problems. Problems that are too big for us to handle alone. Every one of us face stress. Stress that we're not able to cope with on our own. Every one of us are forced by circumstances to reach out for help. The question is, where do you reach? When with the psalmist, you believe in God as the creator, and all the world around you speaks to you of him. All nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres, for this is my Father's world. When I'm faced with those stresses and those problems, I just am reminded of God, the maker of the heaven and the earth, who is my help. So what does the psalmist say in the rest of the psalm concerning God? He said, he will not allow my foot to be moved. How many times I thought I was slipping, how many times I thought I will surely fall, and yet the Lord sustained me. He did not allow my foot to be moved. The psalmist said, the one that watches over you never slumbers or sleeps. He's always there, always on duty, always on guard. There was a beautiful little lady in her 90s. Her name was Mother Berg. She was in our church in Huntington Beach years and years ago. She had the gift of exhortation, would travel around the country, visiting churches, just encouraging them to trust the Lord and to have faith in God. And such a sweet, beautiful ministry, just an encouragement to people. Here she was in her 90s, traveling around just saying, oh, God is on the throne. Don't worry. God is on the throne. He hasn't left the throne. He'll take care of you. Whenever I get sort of discouraged, not know what to do, I'd go over and visit Mother Berg. She said, well, Charles, don't you know the Lord is still on the throne? You know, he's got it all under control. And it was helpful just to be reminded. Well, she was back in Texas on one of her journeys. And she was in a church just exhorting the people. And she was a blessing to them as she was everywhere. And one of the men in the church came up afterwards and said, I saw that big old Cadillac that you drive. And he said, you know, that thing could break down at any time. And he said, here's my card. He said, I own a fleet of trucks. And he said, we have garages all over the United States to service the trucks. And he said, here's my home phone number, my private number. And he said, no matter where you are, night or day, anywhere in the United States, if you have problems, just give me a call. He said, and I'll have one of the tow trucks come out and pick up your car and we'll repair it for you. But he said, I'm just concerned about you driving all over by yourself in your 90s and driving a car like that. And she smiled and she handed the card back to him and she said, I want to thank you for your concern and consideration for me, and I appreciate so much your kind offer. But she said, you know, for some 90 years, the Lord has been watching over me, and he's never let me down, and he's always taken care of me. And she said, though your offer is very generous and I'm certain you're sincere, it might be that when I called, you would be on vacation. She said, my Lord is never on vacation. He's always there when I call. And so if you don't mind, I'll just keep trusting him rather than trusting in you to help. For he who keeps you never slumbers or sleeps. You never have to be worried about getting a busy signal when you call on God. He will be your shade on your right hand. Day and night, he will keep you through the perils of life. He will preserve you from all evil. The Lord will watch over me and watch out for me through the 90s, on into the 21st century, into the third, fourth, and fifth millennium. As long as time exists, from henceforth forever, the Lord is my refuge, my strength, my help. So he will preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even forevermore. What uncertainties are waiting for you around the corner in 1990, who knows? What calamities might come our way, who knows? I don't, but this I do know. No matter what comes, God is sufficient and God is able to carry me through. So I don't worry. Because come what may, the Lord is my helper, the maker of heaven and earth. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that at the beginning of a new decade, as we look past, over the past decades in which you have already brought us, we testify, Lord, to your faithfulness, your watchful, loving care. And Lord, we realize that you have not brought us this far to desert us now. But having been with us in the past, you shall be with us in the future. And so, Lord, when we are faced with distress, when our soul is troubled, when we feel pressed down by the stresses of life, and we feel we can't take another step, help us, Lord, to lift up our eyes to the hills and realize that the Creator of the heaven and the earth is watching over us. He is there to help us, if we'll but call. Thank you, Lord, for your help in the past. It assures us of your help in the future. Amen. Everybody needs a source of help in the time of trouble and stress. The question is, where do you turn? And the answer is relative to your faith and trust in God. I have found that many times in turning to friends, they're not able to help, though they might be sympathetic. I do know that problems aren't solved by trying to escape them. But many times the escapes only compound the problems. But I do know there is a place of help, a source of help. And no matter how great the stress, how big the problem, He's able. And He will help you. Trust in the Lord at all times, O ye people. Find His strength, His love. Call upon Him. He said, I will answer you. I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will be with you. I will uphold you by the right hand of my power. Learn with the psalmist the comfort, the assurance of looking to God as your source of strength and help.